Good morning, friends. It is good to be back. We were away last week, along with a number of you, at Cincinnati for the Church of the Brethren's annual conference. What a great opportunity to be reminded of the connections we have with other siblings in faith across the country and around the world. It was also a reminder of just how special this Stone Church family is. It's good to be back. Many thanks to Belle and to Darlene and the deacons who preached and led worship and cared for this community while we were away. We are grateful. Please take a moment to let us know that you're here. You can fill out one of the green welcome pads in the row next to you, or you can follow the QR code in the bulletin, or just click on the link in the chat thread if you're on Zoom. While you're at it, you're also welcome to fill out one of the prayer cards in the row beside you or type your prayer request into the chat thread. The children will collect those before the children's time, and then we'll lift up these joys and concerns during our time of prayer later in the service. Now, maybe you're a soprano or an alto, and you have always wanted to sing in the choir, but never quite had the time. Or maybe you're a regular with the choir who misses singing together during these summer months. Well, you are in luck. We've got a one rehearsal special coming up this week. If you're a soprano or an alto, rehearse this Thursday right here in the sanctuary at 7:16 p.m. and sing next Sunday. Promises to be a lot of fun. The finance team would like to thank you for the ways you continue to give so generously. We haven't passed an offering plate in what, Jamie, more than 3 years now? But your financial gifts in the offering box, through the website, and directly to the office continue to sustain the work we do together and make possible the ministry of this congregation toward the community and beyond. Thank you. The older adult luncheon was this week, as was the monthly men's breakfast gathering, the prayer shawl meeting, the ladies' prayer breakfast, National Older Adult Conference, Summer Splash for teens. They're all coming soon. Be sure to check out the Friday Flash each week for all the latest on how you can stay connected here at Stone Church. If you're not on the Friday Flash list but would like to be, simply put your email address into the comments section on the attendance form, and we'll be happy to get you added. Now, last week, Belle preached on the story of Adam and Eve from the first chapters of the Bible. This morning, we continue with stories of family dysfunction, to say the least, from Genesis in a summer series we're calling Family Feuds. Today, we find ourselves reading a story of two brothers that is both familiar and surprising. So sit back and allow the music of the prelude to center you into our time of worship this morning.
Thank you. Please join me, please stand as you are able and join me in the responsive call to worship printed in your bulletins. A multitude of choices fill our lives. We choose what we will eat and when we will sleep. We choose to gather in community and to be open to new modes of thought. We may choose to react in kindness and grace to the people we encounter. The Hebrew word timshal means thou mayest. You may choose. We may choose. In this time of worship, we choose to remember the power of our choices. We pause and breathe and worship and hope so that we can choose peace, compassion, and love to fill our lives.
If you have a prayer card, I invite you to hold it up so that the children, as they make their way forward, can collect those. A book for us today, so I'm going to ask for you guys to hop up behind me so that you can see the pages. And I think we're gonna get, I'm gonna make sure, hold on, everybody's on my microphone. We're gonna make sure that the adults can see. There we go. So this is a story of Cain and Abel written by Sandy Eisenberg Sasso. A very long time ago, when the world was new, many different kinds of fruit grew on each and every tree. Ore apples, plum melons, and banangerines ripened on a single branch. The smell of panango, limeberry, and waterloop sweetened the air. Two children walked in God's garden called Earth. One was named Cain, the other Abel. They were the first children, the first brothers. Cain and Abel loved the taste of ore apples, plum melons, and banangerines. They loved the smell of panango, limeberry, and waterlope. The earth was warm and soft, and fruit trees grew in abundance. Each brother had a special job. Cain was a farmer. He loved to dig in the earth and harvest the vegetables and fruits. He knew how to take the wheat of the field, grind it into flour, and bake bread. Abel was the shepherd. He liked to watch as sheep grazed in the fields, and he gently guided the strays back to the flock. Cyrus, you're on my microphone. Hold on. Thank you. He would shear the wool and spin it into soft yarn to make blankets. Cain's hair was straight and coarse, like the straw from the grain he planted. Abel's hair was soft and curly, like the wool on the sheep he tended. Cain noticed that when he was alongside his brother, Abel reached only to his chin. Abel saw how large Cain's hands were compared to his own. But when they stood face to face, they saw that their eyes were the same color of chestnut. Every spring, Cain and Abel marveled at the birth of lambs and the ripening of wheat. In the cool of the evening, Cain wrapped himself in Abel's wool, and Abel dined on Cain's vegetable stew. Late at night, wrapped in soft blankets and feasting on sweet plum melons, the brothers told each other their dreams. One day, Cain and Abel argued about whether it was better to be a farmer or a shepherd. Cain insisted that God loved the farmer best. After all, God planted the first garden, he declared. Abel argued that God loved the shepherd best. After all, God created the animals and watches over them, he insisted. Cain and Abel prayed to God. When Cain prayed, he brought with him a large basket of ripened vegetables. When Abel prayed, he brought his very finest sheep. Cain looked at his silent vegetables, shriveling up in the noon sun, while Abel's sheep bleated happily in the field. Cain was certain that God must like sheep better than vegetables. Maybe God did like the shepherd better than the farmer. Cain glared at his brother. That night, he didn't cover himself with Abel's blanket, and he didn't tell Abel his dreams. The next day, he didn't share his vegetable stew with Abel. Abel did not understand why Cain was so angry at him. At night, Cain thought about how everything seemed so easy for Abel. If it weren't for his brother, he would be the favorite one. If it weren't for Abel, he'd be happy. Just thinking about it made Cain's face turn red like the beets he grew. Look how angry he is. "I hate you, Abel," he called out. Hearing Cain's words, Abel turned pale like sheep's wool. "I hate you too, Cain," Abel shouted. From then on, whenever Cain and Abel met in the field, they turned their faces away from each other. For weeks, they could not look each other in the eye. One hot morning, Cain was clearing some heavy rocks from the ground. A sheep from Abel's flock trampled on Cain's newly planted field. Abel was lying in the shade of a nearby tree while his sheep grazed lazily. Cain tried to speak to Abel, but the words wouldn't come. Cain hated that his brother was resting while the sheep made a mess of all his hard work. Cain was so angry that he felt as if he were on fire inside. His heart was beating so strongly that he covered his ears to make the pounding stop, but it just got louder. He couldn't even look at Abel anymore. He could only stare at the ground. At that moment, Cain noticed a large rock sitting right by his feet. Without thinking, He lifted the rock, and instead of tossing it aside as he always did, he threw it at Abel and hit him on the head. Abel fell over and did not move. Cain called to him, but Abel did not answer. It was then that Cain knew he had killed his brother Abel. Cain wanted to run away, but his feet would not carry him, and his hands trembled. The sky darkened. Then Cain heard God's voice calling to him, "Where is your brother?" God's voice was angry and sad. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain answered. The rock that seemed so light a moment ago was heavy in Cain's heart. The gash in Abel's head appeared as a mark on Cain's own. Cain wished he could go back in time and take back his anger, take back the rock. He missed his brother. He felt ashamed. Abel would never grow up and have children. It was as if Cain had destroyed an entire world. The earth that had always felt warm and soft beneath his feet turned cold and hard. Where once fruits and flowers bloomed, now only thorns and thistles grew. Cain couldn't farm anymore. He wandered from place to place looking for a home. Winter came early that year, and the trees wept leaves. All kinds of fruit fell before they ripened. Fig tureens, razdew, and canterberry covered the ground. No longer could different kinds of fruit remain on a single tree. Time passed, a long time. The world was not new anymore. People built cities and made homes there. Yet people often spoke angry words, and with angry words they drew their swords. Swords turned to guns and guns to bombs. One killing became two. Two became four, and four became 16. 16 killings became war. Entire worlds were destroyed. Now, no one remembers fig tureens, razdew, and canterbury, but the people keep telling the story of Cain and Abel, the first children. They sigh as they read of Cain picking up the rock. They want to hold back his hand and stop his anger from growing into hate. Perhaps one day, when each person learns to reach out an open hand without the rock, without the sword, without the gun, the entire world can be saved. Then, many different kinds of fruit will once again grow on a single tree. The ore apples will return, the banangerines will appear, and in God's garden called Earth, all will be good. Let's pray together. Will you repeat after me? Dear God, help us imagine a world without violence. Amen.
Thank you.
us pray. God, we thank you for this family of faith. Bless our lives together. May we continue to care for one another, living a vision of peace for the world around us. We thank you that Kim's mother, whose health was so unstable last week, is doing better now. And we celebrate Tom and Amy, that Tom's recent surgery has brought so much relief from the pain. Watch over Dick and Myrna as Dick goes in for surgery of his own on Tuesday. Be with Mary as she continues to heal from injuries sustained through a fall. We thank you that Barb is back home from the hospital after her recent cardiac procedure and issues. We ask that you would be with Eddie, who was hospitalized this week with ongoing kidney challenges. May they all continue to heal. Bless Donna, whose knee remains tender. May she be free from pain and find new strength. Comfort the family of Chris Gibney, who gathered yesterday to remember her brother's life. And be with those who are mourning Roxanne's friend Lori, who died after a long illness. Watch over Kim as she navigates the challenges of caring for her mother involving mental and housing instability. We pray for Anthony and his family as he recovers from a severe stroke at just 39 years old. And we lift up the family of Lieutenant James Wagner, one of the officers who was shot a few weeks ago. Thank you that he is doing better, little by little. May Darlene's brother, Boyd, find healing after a difficult time with surgeries and sepsis this spring. Bring him wholeness in body, mind, Lord, we pray again for Bea, who fell a few weeks ago. We pray for her further recovery as her lungs fill up with fluid behind mending ribs. We pray for safe travels for Rick as he drives across the country. We pray for brothers, Danny and Ty, for their heart. We pray for niece Jennifer Frank, who has cancer. Lord, have mercy on all those living with cancer and undergoing cancer treatments. We pray for Val, for Samantha.